Welcome to Chart and Compass Ministry, a ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral, helping you to navigate through the storms of this life by the ever-accurate compass of the Word of God. I'm pleased to share with you today another message from Pastor Greg Lucier, and the message today is titled, What Does a Man Gain from All His Toil? And I want to ask, how does a man benefit from all his hard work? What does he gain?
Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord, the Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This is Stewardship Sunday. So I'd like to begin today with a question that Solomon asked in the Bible. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verse 3. Solomon asks, "What does man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun?" In other words, what is the end result of all of our work? What are we laboring for? What's the benefit of it? What's the profit of it? What do you get out of all the toil and work that you do on earth? As Solomon said, what does a man gain? In the end, that is, by all the toil at which he toils under the sun. Now, I think that's a good question. In fact, that's a great question to ask because we all work, right? And we work hard in this world. But the question we're asking here today is, what's the benefit of it? What's the profit of it? What do you get out of it in the end? What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? What can we say about that? What's God say? Well, first thing is, I observe that people certainly seem to think that they're going to gain a whole lot by their toil, and we can see that by how hard they work in the world. Take a look, for example, at Psalm 104 here. See how times haven't changed. It says, when the sun rises, the creatures of the night and the forest, they get themselves away and lie down in their dens. Man goes forth to his work and to his labor until the evening. Still happens today, right? Of course, people even labor not only to the evening, but into the night. And sometimes all through the night they work. And people work, 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 work. Rush, 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 right? In fact, the Brooklyn Bridge in New York City every day has 12,000 cars go over it, 4,000 pedestrians, and 2,600 bicyclists every day. Work, 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 rush, rush, rush. It's the rat race, and everybody's in a hurry. I was dropping Naomi off at school over at Courtney and 520 over in Merritt Island the other week, and I was just watching, car, 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 and everybody's about 10 minutes late for wherever they're going. As the country song says, I rush and rush until life's no fun. All I have to do is live and die, but I'm in a hurry, and I don't know why. Are you in a hurry? Sometimes even in retirement, you're so busy you can hardly find enough minutes in your day to get everything done. And we're living, especially, in the rat race, in the working world, and all of us work. And so people sure toil as if they are expecting to gain a lot by all of their work, because if they didn't expect to get anything from it, they wouldn't be working so hard. And in fact, some people pour out their zeal, their ambition, their output of energy into various occupations and pursuits with such passion that sometimes along their way, they're even willing to sacrifice their marriage, sacrifice their families, sacrifice their health, their youthful energy, and everything along the way, their enjoyment in life, in order to gain, to do their work, and what they think they'll gain by it, the profit, right? We see that all over the place. So what do people work at? Well, all kinds of jobs, policemen, firemen, pastors, businessmen, McDonald's, presidents of the United States, you name it. There's a whole host of jobs in the world. You can even have a job about dirty jobs, and go around and tell what other people do for work. So there are all kinds of jobs that you can do for money, There are kinds of jobs you do where you don't get paid, like being a full-time mother, which is one of the most important jobs in the whole world. On top of that, people pursue with great toil, pouring their passion, pouring their life energy into pursuits that are hobbies for them. Why do they do it? Because they believe they're going to gain something by it. Otherwise, they wouldn't do it at all, right? So people obviously think they're going to get a lot out of their toil at which they toil under the sun. So what do people think they're going to get out of all the toil at which they toil under the sun? Well, some people think they're going to get wealth, power, an empire, and such strength. Others think they're going to get honor amongst men and respect and titles. Others are looking after fame and being the rock star. Others want to be the best in their profession, whatever that profession is. They want to be the CEO of the company, or the president of the United States, or the best athlete MVP, or the admiral of the fleet, or the best artist and musician. Whatever it is, people are always striving to be at the top, not to be the little peon where you start out, but, yeah, that word's aptly named, isn't it? The peon. But really, they are striving to be the top, to be above, to be the head honcho, the big cheese, number one, chief top dog, to get to the top. And they think that by that, they're going to gain something. And many toil, most of us, really just to provide for a good life for ourselves and for our families, and a lot of people, for a good retirement. They're really toiling with the idea that they're going to have many goods laid up for many years where they can just take their ease, eat, drink, and be merry. A nest egg. And to enjoy the things of life and such. Have fun. And so people toil, believing they're going to get a lot from their labors. And it's interesting, as I was reading Ecclesiastes. If you look at Ecclesiastes 4:4, Solomon, in all of his wisdom that God gave him, looked at all that was done under the sun. He says, "Then I saw that all toil and all skill and work come from a man's envy of his neighbor." Isn't that interesting? Think of it that way. Trying to get to the top, be the best musician, the best athlete, the best this and the best that, because they envy their neighbor and want to get what they got. Just like Mr. T on Rocky 3. "And I'll destroy any man who's going to take what I got." Right? The envy of his neighbor. Keeping up with the Joneses. Surpassing the Joneses. Being number one. But all along the way, people just don't ask or don't want to hear what Solomon asks. This question that's so important. What does a man gain, though, by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? So let's now answer that question. What does a man gain by all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Solomon says, Ecclesiastes 1:12, "I, the preacher, have been king over Israel and Jerusalem, and I applied my mind to seek and to search out by wisdom all that's done under the sun. It's an unhappy business that God's given to the sons of men to be busy with. I've seen everything that's done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after wind." He says in the beginning of that chapter, "The words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem, vanity of vanities. All vanity of vanities," says the preacher, "all is vanity." In chapter 2, verses 22, he says, "What has a man from all the toil and strain with which he toils beneath the sun? For all his days are full of pain. His work is a vexation. Even in the night, his mind does not rest. This also is," say it, "vanity." What is vanity? Well, people think that by their hard work, by their great striving in whatever field it is, they're going to get titles, riches, power, wealth, wisdom, respect, adventures, enjoyment, and all the things of the world by their earthly pursuits. But this is vanity. To get to the end of it all, to open up the box that the world has promised you, and to find in it
empty.
Nothing at all. At the end of all those promises, there's nothing in it. Vanity is a word that means wind. vapor, breath, futility, uselessness, emptiness, void, nothing is what you get. According to this, for all earthly pursuits, God says it's a striving after wind and vanity, and it yields you nothing. Doesn't Jesus say the same thing in the New Testament? Gospel lesson, he says, what does it profit a man? What is it what? Profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his life. Right? There's no benefit. And why is there no benefit? No reward, really, for all the toil and earthly pursuits that's done under the sun. Answer? Because you die. You can't take it with you. Job said, naked I came into this world, and naked I will leave this world. And Solomon had that same thought. And in fact, it courses throughout the scriptures. In Ecclesiastes 2, verses 3 to 10, we see all the things that Solomon accomplished in his life. Got to the peak of everything. Listen to this. He says, I searched with my mind till I might see what was good for the sons of men to do under heaven during the few days of their life. I made great works. I built houses and planted vineyards for myself. I made for myself gardens and parks and planted in them all kinds of fruit trees. I made myself pools from which to water the forest of growing trees. I bought male and female slaves and had slaves born in my house. I also had great possessions, herds, flocks, more than any who were in Jerusalem before me. I also gathered for myself silver and gold and the treasures of the kings and provinces. I got singers, both men and women, and many concubines, man's delight. So I became great and surpassed all who were before me in Jerusalem. Also my wisdom remained with me. And whatever my eyes desired, I did not keep from them. I kept my heart from no pleasure, for my heart had pleasure in all my toil. And this was my reward for all my toil. Then I considered all that my hands had done and all the toil I'd spent in doing it, and behold, all was vanity and a striving after wind. And there was nothing to be gained under the sun. In other words, you want to be a great politician? You want to be a great athlete? You want to be a great, a wealthy man? You want to be a powerful man, a man of title? Solomon says, I've climbed to the top of the mountain, thinking there was something there, searching it out with wisdom. And what I found at the top was vanity, an empty box, because you can't take it with you. He says, I hated all my toil in which I toiled under the sun, seeing I must leave it to another man, to the man who'll come after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise man or a fool? Yet he'll be the master of all for which I toiled and used my wisdom under the sun. This also is vanity. Think about that. What can you take with you in your life? For all the toil with which people toil and rack their brains and spend their days in vexation and pain, what do you take with you? At the end, all earthly pursuits end in nothing because you can't take them with you. Alexander the Great was one of the great emperors in the ancient world. He conquered everything that was known to man and was all the way to Persia, king over the empire of Greece. And at the end of his life, when he was going to be buried, usually they wrap your arms in a basket, wrap your arms in a linen shroud and carry you on the funeral bier or holding thing through the streets. And he said, no, leave my hands out. Don't wrap those up. Leave them outside the carrying bier. Don't get the word wrong, okay? And he says, leave them empty so that all may see that though I was the emperor of kings and provinces, yet I take nothing with me. I'm on the same stage, place as a beggar. So I want to ask you today, for all the labor and toil which you labor under the sun, what can you take with you? If you're a captain, if you're a CEO, if you're a boss, if you're a president, you can't take that title with you from the grave, into the grave. If you have great possessions and you spent your wealth, your days accumulating wealth, these can't follow you into the grave. Great empire can't follow you into the grave. Adventures and fun, you can't take them with you into the grave. Fame, worldly honor and power, you can't take into the grave. Even your nice little nest egg that you've spent all your life gathering to have a retirement, you can't take it with you into the grave. That's why Solomon said, I hated life because of all this toil, and I've got to leave it to another, and I can't keep it. Vanity of vanity, says the preacher. All is vanity and a striving after wind. And if he could speak in our language, he'd say, there are no U-Hauls behind hearses. Okay. I want to ask you a question now. How am I doing in the sermon? Are you feeling happy now? Yeah. What a great message. Is this making you happy or sad? Are you getting depressed over it? Well, you know what? Being depressed over that is a good response. That's what something God wants to work in you, so that he can take you from being depressed to direction, a new direction for your life. This is what God wants to teach you about. The end of the road of earthly pursuits is vanity. But there is another road and another end. Now to the question. What does a man gain from all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Nothing. But he who pursues heavenly pursuits, God says, has a reward. People, though, don't listen to this, do they? You can go out into the streets, preach this to them, and they'll keep going right on, getting to the top of the corporate ladder, getting these exploits done, athletes still striving to the top. Why? Because the wisdom that God is going to share with us in a second is hidden from them. It's a mystery. Their minds are clouded and darkened so that they can't see this. And they spend all their days in vexation and pain and toil, still going after things that do not profit, says the Lord. But he says, to you, to babes, to the humble of this world, I will reveal the truth, that you may be set free to a life that does have something on the end of it. And he says this, Jesus redirects us to our lives. He says in Luke chapter 12, beginning of verse 16, he says, the land of a rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? For I have nowhere to store my crops. And he said, I'll do this. I'll pull down my barns and build larger ones, and there I'll store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said to him, fool, this night your soul is required of you. And these things you've prepared, whose will they be? Exactly what Solomon said. Jesus says, so is he who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. What does God want for you? He wants you to be rich. He wants you to have power. He wants you to have honor. He wants you to do it, though, toward God. Be rich toward him by redirecting your life to make the most of the time by laying down your lives for other people in love and humility and righteous service. And will you listen to that message today? Will that message get into you? Or will you go on like the rest of the world, blind as a bat? A blind man leading a blind man. They'll both fall into a pit. And while all earthly pursuits end in vanity and wind and futility and bankruptcy, all heavenly pursuits, everything done out of faith in Jesus Christ and love for one's neighbor and in an eternal reward that where there's no moth to consume, no rust to break it down, no thieves to break in and steal, a treasure in the heavens. And Jesus says, that is what I want you to be seeking as my people because there's great profit in it. There's great benefit in it. There's a reward for all toil that's done for me. And this was one of the things that drove me into being a pastor. You know that? I had the best of lives, really, in a sense. I was sailing up in Maine on windjammers, tall ships. I had fresh air and sea breezes. I had food provided for me every meal, amazing down east New England food every meal. I had the stars at night. I had adventure. I had physical labor. I had good companionship. And I remember... And I enjoyed it. And that's a gift of God. That's a good thing. But I remember night after night and throughout all my youth, I'd be seeing these beautiful sunsets, rejoicing in them, thanking God, but thinking, but what's the benefit of it, me doing this? What is the What am I really contributing? But to see it with my eyes, as Solomon said. And I kind of looked at my gifts that God has given me, and I thought, well, I think I could use those as a pastor. And this is God working on me. Why? Because as Jesus says in Matthew chapter 6, listen to this. Matthew 6, he says, "Don't be anxious about your life, what you'll eat or drink, nor about your body, what you shall put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing?" You know what God's telling us there? He's saying there's more to life than simply earning a paycheck. There's more to life than simply enjoying yourself. There's more to life than simply adventure. And then he concludes that saying, "Don't be anxious what you'll eat and wear and drink. The Gentiles seek these things. The world, the rat race. Your heavenly Father knows you need them." He says, "But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things shall be yours as well." And what God is directing, he directed me to the ministry, but he directs you to whatever vocation you have, to go after it as a holy vocation. That you don't just do it to lay up for yourself a nice retirement, to do well for yourself, and all that kind of junk, but to seek after righteousness in whatever job and profession God's given you, to use the gifts, whatever they may be, that he's given you to try to build up his kingdom amongst your coworkers. I became a pastor. You don't have to become a pastor. A full-time mother, staying at home, changing diapers, if she does that unto the Lord, says Luther, that is a holy profession. For the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And God wants to redirect our lives to making the most of the time, not wasting it like the world. Proverbs 22 says, "The reward for humility and the fear of the Lord is riches and honor and life." Jesus says in Matthew 5, "When you pray, pray in secret, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you." And Matthew 10, Jesus says, verse 42, "Whoever gives to one of these little ones even a cup of cold water because he is a disciple, truly I say to you, he shall not lose his reward." What reward? At Jesus' coming on the last day, where God, who created this world, wants to give you all things and to bless you with an inheritance. And he's done that for us through Jesus Christ. Do you know that if you want to enjoy riches and honor and all such things, you know what you got to do? You got to be alive to do it, right? A dead man can't own anything. A dead man can't enjoy anything. God has given us Jesus Christ in order to give us a new life. And Jesus Christ, it says in Colossians chapter 2, we read this, verse 13, says, "And you who were dead in trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive." Say alive. "Together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond," that's the law, "which stood against us with its legal demands, all your sins for which you're accountable, this he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the principalities and authorities," that's demons, "and made a public example, a spectacle of them, triumphing over them in him," or in the cross. Think about that. If you're dead, you are not going to enjoy nothing. Double negative, okay, forget. Wealth is of no use to you. Honor is of no use to you. But God made you alive in Jesus Christ through his cross. He's given you eternal life as a gift. Through your faith in him, you are forgiven. You stand before God holy and perfect and cleansed of your sins and righteous. And then God says, "Now I direct you to a new life. I bury you in baptism," Romans 6, "and I raise you to newness, to walk in newness of life. And I'm showing you the way. Not after this, nothing in vanity, but after true riches in heaven. And the best riches, my friends, come in small packages, as every girl knows." God's promises to the world do not look very pretty. They don't look all fancy and done up and big, but I'll tell you, they have the most precious treasure in them. That one's nothing, but in here, we have a beautiful ring, a diamond ring, where God says, "You will be mine forever. I will pour out my love for you and grace and kindness upon you from generation to generation for all time to come. I will give you, just as a husband gives to his wife, my name. It shall be upon your foreheads. And I give you, just as a husband gives to his wife, everything he owns is hers." And God says, riches and honor and life and my love are yours forever. And this is at the end of the Christian life. And he says, not only do I save you, but I want you to lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven by following my path and seeking heavenly things. For what does a man have in return? What does a man gain from all the toil at which he toils under the sun? Earthly pursuits, the answer is nothing, vanity and wind. But Paul says to us in 1 Corinthians 15, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain." In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to this week's message called "What Does a Man Gain from All His Toil?" A broadcast of Chart and Compass Ministry of Christ Lutheran Church in Cape Canaveral. I'm Art Hansen, speaking for Pastor Greg Lassier, and if you're looking for a church home, or if you'd like to stop by and just visit, our services are Sunday at 10 a.m. and Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Christ Lutheran is located on Highway A1A in Cape Canaveral, right across from the Recreation Center. If you would like to hear more messages or leave a comment on this one, please visit our website at ChristLutheranChurchCapeCanaveral.org. Thanks for tuning in, and I look forward to sharing God's Word with you again next Monday at 12:30. Have a wonderful week in our Lord Jesus Christ, the great captain of our soul, and God bless you.